The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and starting off this Monday, we're glad you've joined us as we get together every weekday afternoon at this time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events from a biblical perspective. Also, what we're hearing in church on Sunday, is it even in the Bible at all? You know, we used to just think that pertained to the cults, but you know, more and more we're finding more and more mainline denominational churches have completely abandoned God's Word. They've gone to self-motivational speaking. They've gone to, visualization, realization, psychedelicization. They got it all kinds. But really, when it comes right down to it, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that's what this program's about. If you got a question you'd like to ask us, 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. We'd love to make you part of the program today. And so if you've been sharing your faith, maybe somebody's asked you a question. You've been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand. We want to once again encourage you, give us a call. We'll do our very best to answer those questions for you. Joining me today, special guest and featured CSN speaker here on Sundays at 3 o'clock, Shannon Skolten from Voice of Truth. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's always a blessing to be with you. Looking forward to answering some questions with you. And lots of stuff going on.
There's so much going on, actually. It's insane. Every day the news comes out with something that's more erroneous than the day before. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, I was watching CBS last night and saying, President-elect Joe Biden. This is the American news media lying to the American public. And we have to remember that there's an agenda that these guys have. He is not the president-elect. Let's make that clear. That is determined not by the American news media. That's determined by the Electoral College. And once all these legal issues are out of the way. Now, we came across some pretty important information. We put a lot of stuff up on Facebook to Every Man an Answer, but we felt this was so outrageous that we felt that we really needed to inform all of you, because the American news media is lying to everyone. Well, there was no evidence of any voter tampering or anything. It is full of voter tampering. In fact, I watched a video last night where a lady was actually, while a security guard looked on, was filling out ballots, stamping them, received, and then counting them. She was filling up. We watched her fill out, I think it was at least six of them, that right in a row, she was just filling them out, stamping them, and then doing it. No one else at the table, or maybe there was somebody across from her, at the table, but she was just making these up. This lady needs to go to prison for 10 years for treason, because that's what it is. It's fraud, and it's trying to really influence an election. But this is why Donald Trump has not conceded, nor should he. And this video we're going to show everybody, and you can listen to it here on CSN. If you're watching by Twitter, Facebook, you'll be able to see it. If you're listening, you'll be able to hear it. It's very clear. Don't you agree?
I think it's extremely clear. Everyone says there wasn't any voter fraud and that Joe Biden won. And if you listen to this lady, we're going to play in the clip. She said that Trump won by a landslide, a complete landslide victory. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And people are coming to the surface every single day, more than they can count, more than they can even handle, coming up and saying, hey, this is what happened with my ballot. This is what the Dominion machine did, the voter machine did. This is what I was told. This is what was propagated. It's not over, friends. So this whole Joe Biden, if I become president, or when I become president, I should say, is just a joke.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
And the problem seems to go back to a company that made these voting machines.
Dominion.
They're called Dominion. Now, it appears that they were deliberately made to bring forth an erroneous conclusion. And who is part of who's the ownership of
if I recall, the Nancy Pelosi family, her husband, I believe, is part owner in the company Dominion, which isn't that an interesting name, Dominion, that they choose? Yeah, I just find everything. You know, there's also something going around that the Pope wants to give Biden sainthood. Did you hear about that?
Oh, my. Yeah.
Because he resurrected so many people from the dead to vote.
That's true. Tens of thousands of dead people voted in this last election. So it's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
But no, we're aware of it. And why don't we go ahead and play that clip so everyone can hear? Now, you might want to call your friends. Let them tune in on this, because this is extremely important. This is not just some talking hat. This is actually part of Trump's legal counsel, and they have the goods on these voting machines and on the fraud that went on during the election, where they were supposed to turn them off after a certain time. They kept them on and kept them running. All this kind of stuff. Biden, I don't believe, is going to get in. I think Biden is cheated. I'm not saying he himself, but the Democratic Communist Party has done this. These voter machines, by the way, were exported to Venezuela, Cuba, many other places for the same purpose, and that's to tip an election that is
it's so beyond illegal. It's and here's the other thing, and you mentioned this on a previous show before we go to the clip, that Pelosi family is also related to the Jerry Brown family, which is also related to the Newsom's family. This corruption just intermingles everywhere. It's disgusting. The clip is about 6.5 minutes long, so bear with us as we play it, but listen to every single word that this lady says. You're not going to want to miss it.
Yeah, she's part, of Donald Trump's legal counsel. They have the goods. This is why I do not believe Joe Biden will be president of the United States. Go ahead and roll it.
Well, joining us tonight is Sidney Powell, a member of President Trump's legal team, General Flynn's defense attorney, a great American and prominent appellate lawyer. Great to have you with us, Sidney. Let's start with Dominion. A straight out disavowal of any claim of fraud against the company, its software or machines. Your reaction?
Well, I can hardly wait to put forth all the evidence we have collected on Dominion, starting with the fact it was created to produce altered voting results in Venezuela for Hugo Chavez, and then shipped internationally to manipulate votes for purchase in other countries, including this one. It was funded by money from Venezuela and Cuba, and China has a role in it also. So if you want to talk about foreign election interference, we certainly have it now. We have staggering statistical evidence. We have staggering testimony from witnesses, including one who was personally in briefings when all of this was discussed and planned, beginning with Hugo Chavez and how it was designed there, and then saw it happening in this country. As soon as the state shut down on election night and stopped counting, those are the states where the most egregious problems occurred. We also need to look at, and we're beginning to collect evidence on, the financial interests of some of the governors and secretaries of state who actually bought into the Dominion systems, surprisingly enough. Hunter Biden type graft to line their own pockets by getting a voting machine in that would either make sure their election was successful or they got money for their family from it.
Well, that's straightforward. It may take, you're going to have to be quick to go through and to produce that investigation and the results of it. The December deadlines are approaching for electors, and just as we saw in 2000 with Bush v. Gore, how critical are those deadlines, and how urgent does that make your investigation and discovery?
Well, for fraud this serious, I think even if the states are stupid enough to go ahead and certify the votes where we know the machines were operating and producing altered election results, If they're stupid enough to do that, then they will be set aside by the fraud also. I mean, we are talking about hundreds of thousands of votes. President Trump won this election in a landslide. It's going to be irrefutable. And we are, patriots are coming forward all, every day, all day, faster than we can collect their information with the testimony they're willing to give under oath about how their votes were stolen and how the machines operated. They were updated the night of the election, sometimes after the election. We've got statistical evidence that shows hundreds of thousands of votes being just put in and replicated. It's going to be, there needs to be a massive criminal investigation, and it's going to affect millions of voters and elections.
With these allegations, these charges, is the FBI already carrying out an investigation of these voting companies where their servers are domiciled? And in at least three instances, we know they're in foreign countries. Tell us where the Justice Department is in all of this.
I wish I knew. I'm not on the inside, so I'm not privy to that information. I know that even Democratic senators and congresspeople for years have reported problems with this system to the FBI and to the government, and nobody's done a blooming thing about it. The people in the election security part of Department of Homeland Security need to be fired yesterday. They're absolutely ridiculous. Of course, Chris Wray needs to be fired, too, because the only FBI interview of any witness was to intimidate him and try to get him to change his truthful testimony 4 hours by an anti-Trump FBI agent. They still have politics infecting the FBI instead of just following the law. We are on the precipice of, this is essentially a new American revolution. And anybody who wants this country to remain free needs to step up right now. These are federal felonies. Altering a vote or changing a ballot is a federal felony. People need to come forward now and get on the right side of this issue and report the fraud they know existed in Dominion voting systems, because that's what it was created to do. It was its sole original purpose. It has been used all over the world to defy the will of people who wanted freedom.
Cindy, at the outset of this broadcast, I said that this is the culmination of what has been over a four-year effort to overthrow this president, to first deny his candidacy, election, but then to overthrow his presidency. This looks like the effort to carry out an end game in the effort against him. Do you concur?
Oh, absolutely. And it's been organized and conducted with the help of Silicon Valley people, the big tech companies, the social media companies, and even the media companies. And I'm going to release the Kraken.
Well, good, because this is an extraordinary and such a dangerous moment in our history. I really am very concerned for the country. I am very concerned for all Americans. And I have a feeling that most Democrats are first Americans and not Democrats. They have to be as alarmed as any one of us. Cindy, we're glad that you are on the charge to straighten out all of this. It is a foul mess, and it is far more sinister than any of us could have imagined, even over the course of the past 4 years. You get the last word, Sydney.
It is indeed a very foul mess. It is farther and wider and deeper than we ever thought, but we are going to go after it, and I am going to expose every one of them.
Sydney Powell, thanks for being with us, and thanks for all that you're doing.
We want to thank Fox News Business for that clip. But again, everybody needs to realize this ain't over. And so when you hear the bloviating of CBS at night, realize they're telling you fantasies and stories. It ain't over. I think it's interesting also today, the Times News here locally came out and announced that it's not over either with President Trump. That's good. He's not conceded, nor should he. And again, I believe that the Justice Department, especially spearheaded by who we just heard here on Every Man an Answer, I believe this is going to be a major issue. Now, with these Dominion machines, tell us a little bit. Now, was it Pelosi that was part of it? Or?
So if you go back and you can look at OANN, Owen Network, and there's other links, it's going to be buried. As the more this comes out, the more they try to bury the information.
Yeah, they don't want you to know.
It just took me the whole 6 minutes to find this one news article, and I knew I should have saved it when I found it initially. But the Dominion machines, there's ties to the Clintons and the Pelosi family way back when, years and years and years ago. So the Democratic Party has always attempted to sway the election, and it says here that it went all the way back to the Gore-Bush issue. So this is nothing new. I think that they came out with much more veracity maybe than they did previously, and they really aren't trying to hide anything that they're doing. They're not trying to hide the evilness that is governing them. They're not trying to hide their agenda. Even, you know, the from the president-elect's office, Joe Biden gets up and starts saying, this is what I'm going to do when I get into office, because I am getting into office, because I clearly won. And he starts describing that he's going to overturn a lot of Trump's executive orders on anti-abortion. He's going to make all of these pro-abortion executive orders. He's going to overturn a lot of them, the Mexico City policy, which specifically discusses, not using U.S. taxpayer dollars for abortions from other countries. He's going to overturn that. He's unveiled a lot of different things that are quite sinister and against evangelicals. And he's just talking as if he's going to get in. I mean, he really believes, honestly, that he's taking the seat. Yeah, and he's going to be inaugurated in January. And, he's just continues to unveil his entire agenda. And he calls it his early executive actions, which he's going to take place, which he's going to do specifically his first initiatives, surprisingly enough, will all be on Trump's administration's pro-life stand. That's the first thing besides DACA and the Dreamers that they're going to attack when they get into office. Nonetheless, he also has stated they're going to open up the borders and they want 150,000 refugees to come in.
It's going to be a free-for-all.
I like how they pointed out 150,000. They know exactly how many they want to let in. And I guarantee you they're going to use that to flood the Republican states. But there is hope because he's fraudulent. And all of this, as you heard in the clip, is completely erroneous, completely illegal. Heads need to roll. And the truth
they
will
are.
Come out.
I think they are. I think you're going to see massive criminal prosecution like we've not seen before. Now, if you're listening to this and you know of voter fraud in your town, we had a couple people call last week where one individual received 8 blank ballots at his house with only 3 people living in his home. This kind of fraud, again, needs to be turned in. Now you say, but where do I go? The best place to go is Jay Sekulow. Now, he's on CSN here in the morning times, and we love Jay, and you can go to aclj.org, aclj.org, with your record of fraud, what you witnessed in the election. We're finding that there's literally tens of thousands of these all across America now. People getting a number of blank ballots in their mailboxes. This kind of stuff. People need to know the government. We need to let Trump's legal counsel know about this. If you know a fraud, don't just say, "Oh, well, somebody else will say something." No, you say something. Just go to aclj.org, and Jay trained team there will help write these down so that we can go after. He can go after these people that have made a total mockery of our election system. And again, we just heard in the news report that after the election was over, these machines kept on running because they were tampering with the votes, and they know it and they can prove it. So like I say, the idea of Joe Biden elect is a myth perpetrated by our American news media. And so voter fraud is rampant. Of course, the American news media is trying to play it down that, no, there was no tampering. I watched, again, one video where this woman who was supposed to be counting the votes was making the votes by the stackful. It was incredible. And so, no, they've got it.
And I think America's waking up to the fake news media because Fox News has completely tanked. Their ratings have jumped off the proverbial cliff. CNN is up for sale. Did you see that?
No.
They're up for sale, and I was like, who's going to buy them? Who would want to buy CNN? But obviously, people are changing, and people are waking up to understand that everything they're being spoon-fed is complete poison. CBS, ABC, MSNBC, all of the alphabet soups. And evangelicals are flocking to OANN and Newsmax, and PragerU and Breitbart and Drudge.
Well, Drudge has kind of went off the end, I guess, too.
Have they?
Yeah. So, but the other ones
that's unfortunate. They used to be good.
Newsmax is good.
Newsmax is good. Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro is great. Lauderwick Crowder, he's funny, but he's the number one social media / alternative media news host currently. So these are all places that you can get information. You don't need to be, you know, zoned in to the boob tube watching, Fox News anymore.
Well, or really, we just CNN. Need to be careful. You need to get your news. They're in the tank with the One World Order, and that's what it's about. And again, this was the whole design. And so again, I think this is going to not go the way Biden wants it to go. I think the result will be rioting in the street. And as we've already told you, America's already, according to General Boykin, 4-star retired general, we're already in a civil war. It just hasn't turned to the streets yet. But unfortunately, I believe America is in the middle of an attempted coup overthrow, and certainly with tampering with American votes and this kind of stuff. Here, you know, I think everybody should be aware that, you know, we used to be able, 20 years ago, we knew when we went to bed at night who was the next president. But not this time, because they had to manufacture the votes. They had to make sure Trump wouldn't win. And so Pennsylvania changed their voting laws 2 weeks before the election to allow those ballots to keep coming in without postmarks. Yeah. See, they knew what the target was once they knew how much ahead Trump was, and then they just needed to go to their voting machines and alter them to make it sound and come out the way they want. And so it is. I believe that these people will be prosecuted. I believe Barr will. And if Trump's got to declare martial law to stay into office until this is cleaned up, I think that's what he should do. I think they should offer rewards for those when it's found what when it comes to the voter fraud, depending on the size of the voting fraud, or those that know about the machines and what they did to them, they should not only give them amnesty, but give them a reward as well for coming up and telling people the truth about all this junk that's going on. Because again, America, your freedom is hanging in the balance. And again, when you see people being appointed like Bernie Sanders, an avowed socialist communist, in American government now, not just as a senator from poor old Vermont, but I mean a real, really where he's going to start changing the laws of your country. I don't believe any real American can do this. And when Joe Biden says, we're coming for your guns, as he said many, many times, you can just say bye-bye to your Bill of Rights. They have no respect for that. But the Communist Party doesn't. Because the state will control everything about you.
Mm-hmm.
And so fight back.
It's
not over till it's over. 8888 Ask CSN is the number to call as we go to the phones. We have Jerry on the line in Virginia. Excuse me. Hi.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Shannon.
Hi.
How can we
help? I was reading my Bible over the weekend. I come across something very interesting. And I want to set it up before I ask my question. It's in 1 Corinthians 15:4-5.
Uh-huh.
And that it's talking about Jesus, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Mm-hmm. My question is, did Judas Iscariot actually see the risen Savior? I asked my pastor this question. He said they'd already selected another disciple, but reading right here, there's not enough time for that. I'm just looking for an answer.
Well, I believe that Judas Iscariot hung himself rather quickly after he betrayed Christ. I believe that he probably committed suicide that night, where the Bible says that he hung himself, and evidently the rope broke, because the Bible tells us in another place that he hit the ground and his bowels gushed out. So mm-hmm. over in Israel, I've been there, and there's rocks everywhere. I mean, they don't really have dirt. It's rocks, and it's everywhere. And so evidently he probably hung himself, and then the rope broke. And then they got together, realizing that Jesus had always addressed the 12. They may have rushed another disciple through. Your thoughts?
I heard, I'm familiar with the same thing, that they had already chosen another disciple. It doesn't say anything that it specifically is Judas Iscariot, and I'm in the same camp with you, Mike. To my understanding, Judas couldn't live with himself, and he committed suicide very shortly after his betrayal of Jesus.
So I hope that helps.
One more thing.
Yes.
Judas, his conscience was kind of, he didn't really have much of a conscience, because the devil put it into him to betray him for 30 pieces of silver, and he had to have a catalyst, something to shake him, to cause him to want to commit suicide. I don't know if it was because of the crucifixion of Jesus or actually seeing him.
I believe that what you'll find here, the Bible says that he had been stealing from the other disciples' purse all along. I think he loved money. And the love of money is the root of all evil. The Bible doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that as he was out collecting his shekels, he sold the whereabouts of Jesus where he wouldn't be surrounded by the crowd. In other words, he sold out Jesus's day planner to the Sanhedrin so he could be arrested at night. And so I believe when he came back, he was full of remorse. He threw the money down in the temple, and that's why they went and bought a potter's field with the money. So I believe that he had been doing bad things all along. And I believe that sometimes when we're bent a certain way, God just lets us do what we're going to do, and it ain't good. So, Jerry, I hope that answers it for you.
All right. Thank you.
Stay online if you like. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. And with that, everyone, we're coming up on a break. We don't want you to go away. Remember, check us out Facebook, To Every Man an Answer. If you missed that or want to hear that, what we aired earlier, you'll find it there on Facebook. Go there. You'll find it there. We'll be right back.
CSN is like a part of the family. We can sit with you in your living room, cook with you in your kitchen, and travel with you in your car, offering encouragement and hope all along the way. Please let us know when you have comments or prayer requests. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact CSN at csnradio.com or call us at 800-357-4226.
You have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy, Psalm 61:3. CSN International has hundreds of stations across the nation, and each one requires a tower to broadcast from. We choose to use these towers to spread the word of God, the gospel, salvation through Jesus Christ. CSN needs your help. That's why we started Tower Keepers. It's a donation program from CSN offering you a chance to support your local station and keep it on the air. A monthly donation of whatever you can give allows CSN to continue to be the network where God's word is heard. You can join Tower Keepers. Give us a call at 1-800-357-4226 or send your donation to CSN Tower Keepers, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. For more information, you can log online to csnradio.com.
CSN, the Christian Satellite Network, is broadcast on hundreds of stations nationwide. With stations in 45 of our 50 states, we're never far from where you are. Get a full station list or listen anywhere in the world 24/7 at csnradio.com. You can be a part of CSN by spreading the word. Join us on Facebook and tune in every day for the best Bible-based teaching and modern praise and worship music. CSN International, where God's word is heard.
A lifeline for those searching. This is CSN.
And we want to welcome you back to part two of Every Man an Answer here on this Monday. And once again with us, we have Shannon Skolton from Voice of Truth. Airs here on Sunday at 3 o'clock. And so we're glad you're with us, Shannon. Look forward to answering some more questions.
Glad to be here.
We're going to go back to the phones right now. We have Nancy on the line from West Virginia. Hi, welcome. Nancy, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, how may we help?
Hi, I have a couple of questions, but they're all in the same purview.
Okay.
In 1 Kings 10, verse 5, it talks about the Queen of Sheba visiting Solomon. And the Bible just is not definitive about her possibly entering the temple. And I just wondered if she did. And if she did, why did Solomon not get a new hairdo? Because her being an idolater, I don't even see her in the outer courtyard, but she was able to witness him. A couple of Bibles, the version said that she witnessed him worshiping with sacrifice or preparing a sacrifice or something.
Well, I think she was pretty overwhelmed with the wisdom of Solomon. Solomon, again, given this supernatural gift from God, I believe that's what a lot of it attributed to. Now, you have to remember, Nancy, they didn't go into the Holy of Holies. That was where the priest went once a year. But there was the outer court. And the outer court is where, evidently, she was able to go see what this great temple that Solomon built, all of the other things that he did. And so I believe that he was able to bring her to the outer court of the temple, and that is as far as the Gentiles could go. And so I believe this is where the line was drawn, but still it was the temple. And I think it's really important that we recognize that, because it is the place where people who were curious about Yahweh would come, and then with the hope of them converting to true Judaism. Now, in order in the Old Testament to convert to Judaism, what you would do is you would renounce your pagan deity, you would embrace Yahweh as God, and then take a ceremonial washing. And thereby, you would separate through the water, you know, spiritually speaking, your past. This is what made John the Baptist's ministry so unusual, because he came to the Jewish nation saying, you Jewish nation, you need to take a ceremonial washing. And so that's why John the Baptist's ministry was so unusual, as he was the forerunner of Christ. Your thoughts?
I agree. I really have nothing more to add to that.
Nancy, I hope that helps.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you.
Stay on line, Nancy, if you like. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. I think you'll enjoy. Let's go to Kimberly, Las Vegas, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Hi, I'm Kimberly. I'm out here in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I have a question regarding a radio talk show host I'm familiar with, Alex Jones.
Yes.
All right. So I was watching a video from him last night. It was over the past few days. And they released a video. It's on band.video. It's a doctor that received information from the Canadian government in regards to the pandemic's plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the different, like the third, like more lockdowns in the future.
Yes.
And a vaccine coming that would enable people to actually move freely. My question is, within the lockdown and like one world government and money, like a globalist money, basically. My concern is, if this plague isn't going to touch my house because we're protected, because we're God's people, do I need to be concerned about this vaccine? And also, I don't want to live in fear. My son, he's got Down syndrome, and a vaccine would be nice, but I definitely don't want anything in my home that's contrary to what God wants for me. And I'm not sure if this is tribulation period or if we're still a far ways off, but I don't want to put too much stock into one person like Alex Jones, who I've listened to him for a while, but there's a lot of fear in what he has to say, but then there's a lot of biblical stuff in what he has to say. And I just want to know your perspective or your ideas on that,
Shannon,
just so I can make the best decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm extremely familiar with Alex Jones. I actually glean from a lot of the things that he has said in the past. I know that he's gotten a lot of, come under a lot of scrutiny for being a conspiracy theorist. But I think that he puts out really, really good documentaries. There's people who believe he's paid opposition. I don't tend to believe that. I think everything he says is very valid. I think that he does it extremely emotionally, but Glenn Beck has also gone off the handle and cried over his radio program and screamed and yelled too, so I can't blame the guy for that either. I think that Alex is extremely passionate about what he chooses to expose, and I think that, yes, he does it in a fearful way by trying to wake people up and showing them all the atrocities that are coming down the pipeline. And I think that if you don't have discernment or wisdom and knowledge, you can get fearful. But God doesn't give us a spirit of fear as believers. We're supposed to have a sound mind, and we're supposed to be at peace because we know the beginning from the end already, because we worship a holy and righteous God who's laid it all out for us anyway. So I think that you need to see what Alex Jones says. I don't think you should stop listening to him. I think that anything anybody says, you always need to hold up to the lens of Scripture. But if he's exposing things, which he always has, that can be controversial or maybe aren't widely discussed, they could be considered conspiratorial, I would always not take one man's opinion. I would go and I would research those things. In regards to the vaccine, in regards to the things that he's exposed, he's had many people on his radio program in regards to that, doctors and people who have worked specifically with the FDA. And nothing that they've said has been wrong. And so from our standpoint, Mike and myself, we've spoken many times on this program and myself on Voice of Truth that we are not going to get the vaccine. Sometimes there are powers at large that have a more sinister reason for things. And I think that's just the fallen nature of the world. And we have to be discerning in regards to certain situations. It doesn't mean you live in fear. I think that you need to do your own research and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. But with the ramifications of how this vaccine has come up, all of the shadowing beyond compare that we can even discuss about the vaccine, the things that are unknown and the things that have been revealed with the side effects of the vaccination itself, its conjugation, the human DNA being it, trace technology, formaldehyde, and you know, aborted fetal tissue. I think that it's safe to say that refraining from it is important. There is talk, I should say, about using the vaccine in a way to trace and monitor people. That is not conspiratorial. That is true. You can research the vaccine company and the people who have backed the vaccine, and they state that on their website. So there's nothing conspiratorial about that. As far as, you know, protecting your home, you had mentioned that, you know, you're covered by the blood of Jesus and that no plague can touch you. And I want to be very careful about that because God ultimately, yes, can choose to protect his people. But it doesn't mean that we're not subject to things that are naturally occurring. And it doesn't mean just because you're a Christian, you're not going to get COVID-19. And it doesn't mean that if you were in an area where there's bubonic plague that you might not be exposed. Obviously, you need to pray, and you can pray for protection. If it's God's will that you're protected and, you know, nothing harms you in that manner, then so be it. But to it's be very careful with the premise of, well, nothing's going to be able to touch me, because ultimately God's will is God's will. And we want that protection, and we believe in that, and we have faith, absolutely. But just don't go blindly into that and put yourself in harm's way.
We live in a fallen world. That's why, because we find this, and the Bible tells us the rain falls on the just and the unjust just the same. Now, if you're laying cement and you're just about ready to have it start setting up, rain will be one of the biggest nightmares that you'll have as you're pouring a slab. But on the other hand, if you're a farmer, that rain makes the difference of a successful crop or crop failure. So I believe we're in a fallen world. So we don't want to just say, well, I can just bulldoze through everything. God's going to protect me any more than I wouldn't
jump off a cliff without a parachute.
Well, or you know, lock your door at night, or put a spare tire in your car, or when you go into the store, have your wallet. Well, I'll just go in the store and money will just fall out of the sky because God shall supply all my needs according to his glory. Well, there is a balance that we need to look at. And very clearly, Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. We know many times Paul, the apostle, left his friends sick because of this present fallen world. We remember in 2 Timothy, Paul writes to, in Timothy, he says, take some wine for your stomach and your other infirmities. So we do know that that being a Christian does not exempt us from problems, illnesses in the world. But I do believe in a God who heals, and that's a good thing. I don't know why God doesn't heal everyone, but we do know that many people God heals. Many people heals them when they die, and he takes them to heaven. So I think we need to be balanced in that. But I think the biggest problem with any vaccine right now, Shannon, is the long-term effect. We've got a vaccine, and everything is wonderful. Yeah, but in 2 years, does it cause liver cancer? In 2 years or 5 years, does it cause blindness or death? We don't know. They don't know. In fact, Johnson & Johnson, about 3 weeks ago, stopped working on their vaccine because they had unknown illnesses coming up out of this vaccine that they had.
And the government is known for using us as human guinea pigs. And I hate to say that, but if you look in the 70s, when the H1N1 vaccine was first made, they said, let's give it to all the pregnant women. And pregnant women were dying, and their babies were dying in utero. So, they didn't check it. So it's, we have to have common sense. We have to also allow the Holy Spirit to talk to us. We have to pray. We have to seek his face. He will answer if we petition him, but just don't go blindly into things and always check anything. InfoWars, we talk about the book of Jude, how some are going to be saved. Some can be saved with hellfire and essentially aggressiveness in layman's terms, and some will be saved in love and compassion and gentleness. And InfoWars and Prison Planet and Paul Joseph Watson and all of those Alex Jones types, their message, and Alex Jones claims to be a Christian, I can't say one way or another if he is or not, but they are very aggressive, and they try to save people through wake up and screaming, and this is what's going on, this is what we found. And then there's others like us who are trying to wake you up from a biblical perspective, maybe more gently, maybe trying to minister to you in a different way. So all of it, look at it according to the whole counsel of God and make an appropriate decision for where God has you in your walk with him. But always hold everything up to the lens of Scripture, no matter who you listen to and no matter what you watch, even if they claim to be a believer, evangelical, Mike.
Yeah, one of the things that's interesting, Revelation chapter 13, the Antichrist requires everybody to take a mark, name, or a number on their hand or on their forehead. But by the time you get to chapter 16 of Revelation, something is wrong with the mark, and the Bible says a grievous, oozing, cancer-type sore breaks out on the people who took the mark. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm talking about, where it has not been tested long enough to really understand what the long-term effects are. And so they go, we're going to have a vaccine in February. I wouldn't let anybody shoot that into me. That's like going to a frat party at a college, and you walk through the door and somebody just shoots something in your arm. Hey, man, you're going to feel really good.
Well, you can read what's in it. Why would you want to inject yourself with aborted fetal tissue and formaldehyde?
Yeah.
Not my cup of tea. I don't know.
I don't know. Not dead yet.
No.
So anyway, I hope that helps, Kimberly.
Yes, thank you very much. I needed that. I was going to ask, can you guys pray for me? I'm a first responder out here, and I love the city and I love the people in it. And I'm trying to find a way that I can serve God and serve my community in the midst of all this. And so I've sent a couple of emails out, and I'm just hoping to get some news back the best way that I can be used. Because in March, I kind of feel like I let a lot of my talents go to waste, and I don't want to do that again, not when the world is where it is.
Yeah, Kimberly,
so
that's
if you can just pray for guidance for my soul, that'd be great.
Yeah, we will, and that's a wonderful heart to have, is the heart of a servant. It's interesting, if you do just an overview study in the Gospels, it'll say, and Jesus, seeing the multitudes, had compassion on them. And I really believe that true evangelism is not motivated by your name in lights or big offerings. I believe it's motivated and blessed by God when we look at the crowds and we have compassion on them. Shannon, you're from Las Vegas. What would you tell her?
You said you're a first responder.
Yes.
And are you out of work? Are you laid off? Are you furloughed?
No, I'm actually working the testing sites, and any event that's still running at the moment, I'm trying to do all that I can so I can stay ahead financially. But I get to be in the public with people that are generally concerned for their health and safety, and all I can do is try and crack a smile every once in a while and giggle and make people a little at ease while I'm performing this test.
What church are you a part of?
I'm sorry.
What church are you part of, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I was going to Hope Church until I moved, and then I started doing medical standby at Central Church, and I'm not part of any of their small groups because I work pretty much every Wednesday, Sunday, or day that they have late start or early start. So I listen to my SOS radio, and I listen to my Joyce Meyer, but as far as being plugged into an actual church, I haven't the opportunity, but those are the emails I sent out. It's the churches that I've attended that I have a heart for.
Hope's a great
church. To see if I can use my medical skill. I don't know about medical skills. I don't know what the liability is with that. But if there's anybody in the elderly population that might need someone to just make sure they're taking their medications or need to be lifted or moved or the trash taken out, I'm not sure in what capacity I might be useful, but.
Yeah, you know, I know that because the congregations that I was a part of when I lived out there was the Calvary Chapel, so Calvary Chapel of Las Vegas and Calvary Chapel Paradise with Tim Warholic. And I know that the larger Calvary Chapel, they use talent from everywhere, including the medical community. They usually do like a Bless Fest every November for the homeless, where they go out and they check them and they make sure they're healthy. It's a really well-organized ordeal. I don't think, and I don't know, because I'm not there, if they're doing it this fall season or not, but I know that that congregation has a lot of doctors and they have a lot of paraprofessionals in the medical field, and they always are in need of people who can help them. So maybe you can reach out to them. The pastor's Derek Nider, and see if you can be of use there. But Hope, again, that's a great congregation. Hope Baptist is wonderful. But I know the Calvarys do a lot of boots on the ground outreach in the greater Las Vegas area. So they might be something, or one of them, somewhere you can get plugged into.
Amen. Kimberly, let's pray for you. Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name, and I just pray, first of all, we pray for her child, and just ask you that you would extend your hand of touch, of healing and restoration, and Lord, patience for her, and then, God, that you would use her in a great and mighty way to bring people closer to you, and thank you for her heart. May you bless her, hold her in the palm of your hand, and Lord, open doors for her according to your will in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Kimberly, our prayers are with you, dear.
Thank you so much.
God bless you. And say a line if you like. I'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. I know your kids will like. Okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
God bless you, Kimberly. Let's go to Candy, Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hi, welcome. Oh, Candy, we lost you, Candy. Call back and we'll put you on. Let's go to
Edison in San Antonio, Texas.
Edison, you're right. Hi, Edison.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How may we help?
Good, good. Hi, Mike and Shannon. God bless you for the ministry, and I believe God that put you in this time as such to defend and to proclaim the word. Blessings to you. My question is, I'm a Syrian from Iraq, and I grew up knowing Abraham was from Ur the Chaldean, the land of Chaldeans. Mm-hmm. But here in the Bible, on Genesis 14, verse 13, it says, "And one of it says, one who had escaped came and reported this to Abram the Hebrew." Now, why the Bible call him the Hebrew when there was no Isaac or Jacob yet? And that's my question.
Okay, Shannon, your thoughts.
That is a good question, Mike. Your thoughts. That's one that I need you to answer.
Well, I believe that, again, God's promise was upon Abraham, and of you, I'll make of you a great nation. And I believe that God just simply separated him out and named him that name. I don't believe that again, and I think it's important that who we are is not based upon where we live, but who we are in him. And I think that's really important because a lot of times we want to identify with something of this world. But Abraham really was a person that was just singled out by God. There's nothing in the Bible that said, oh, Abraham was such a good guy. You know, he always took care of all of his animals. And, you know, he was out one night just studying the stars. And, oh, who are you out there that made that? We don't find anything like that. Is it God singled him out? Blessed him and said, of you, I'm going to make a great nation. And I believe that is really why God does what he does. You know, it's amazing to me that God has called every person into his kingdom. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. Whosoever would believe in him would not perish. But unfortunately, people don't want to choose him. God has already chosen the world to redeem it. It isn't that I chose him, he chose me. But the Bible says he chose every one of us. For God so loved the world. That's what John 3:16 states. Then we find the Great Commission, go preach the gospel to every creature. Not based upon locale, but really to everyone whom God has made. And I really believe that, so he called them the Hebrew, because again, God was speaking to him in a future tense of who he would be, of you, I'm going to make a great nation. Your thoughts?
That was very well said. Edison, see, I even learned something sitting here next to the man, the myth, the legend.
Edison, I hope that helps.
Thank you. Hope that helps, Edison.
Amen, amen. It does help. It just because before I heard, because he was in Hebron, people, they call him the Hebrew. But when you come to the word in Arabic, Hebron and Hebrew, they are totally different words. But
absolutely,
that make a lot of sense, what you describe it. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Edison, stay online. If you like, send you out a couple books, couple of DVDs. If you'd like to be part of today's, I'll send that to you for being part of today's program. 8888, ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. Let's go to Jeff, Napa, Idaho. Hi, welcome.
Hello. I just want to say thank you very much for you guys' radio station. Yeah. It's really encouraging.
Well, good. I'm glad
to,
you like
to me and to a lot of people. I just have a so I overhear the last caller, the girl in
Las Vegas.
She was afraid about her, what is going to happen. You know, like a lot of people are afraid about what's going to happen. One of my verses that I love a lot is Psalm 91, where God says that he will deliver us from the snare of the hunter and diseases and all the stuff if we dwell within his question. If God is today, yesterday, forever, never change, right? So
yes.
Where does that verse lies? You know, Elijah was able to do powerful things, but somehow the apostles did powerful things, but they also suffered death, right? But not Elijah. So does God chooses? I mean, Elijah somehow wasn't a doubter. I mean, all the apostles kind of were afraid and doubt Jesus in a certain level. So what do you think about that? Like, I believe that God can deliver you from anything. So if you dwell within him, and so what do you think about that?
That God does. I believe we do. But I find many times in the scripture, the disciples, for instance, after Jesus rose from the dead, sometimes God divinely delivered Peter out of the prison. They literally walked out of the prison. Other times, such as the Apostle Paul, that did not happen. So I think we need to be aware of God's will is not always our will. And I think this is why John the Baptist said, are you really the Messiah? As he said this from prison, after being put in prison because he denounced the relationship that Herod had with his brother's wife, he said, are you really the Messiah, or should we look for another? And they came back and they said, the deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk. And I can just see John saying, well, if all these things, if you're really the Messiah, Jesus, why am I in jail? And I believe that happens a lot. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that we need to all understand something important is that, again, like Mike said, our form of deliverance or protection is not necessarily God's. Of course, we want to be delivered out of every bad scenario, every bad situation, every sickness, every illness all the time. But when you look at, just like Mike said, the disciples or, you know, the apostles, what they went through was used as a testimony for others to be saved. And sometimes God allows us to go through those things so that we can have a testimony. We can then see his grace and his love much more abundantly because of what we've went through. So when we have this ideology that we are going to be completely protected from everything, which is part of that name it and claim it, grab it and blab it gospel that you're protected from everything, nothing bad can hurt you.
You can't get sick.
You can't get sick. It's very detrimental to the Christian walk because then when you do, you're like, well, where were you? And he's, you know, on the other side of this saying, I'm here the whole time. I'm going to use this to bless you 10 times more. Don't lose your faith. But it actually hurts our faith more when we have that belief system. So no matter what you go through, no matter how hard or how detrimental, God has a plan at the end of it, and it's always to the benefit of those who love him and follow him and know who he is.
Yeah, and I think just because a person, again, gets sick doesn't mean they're not in God's will. And certainly Paul, when he wrote, drink some wine, Timothy, for your stomach and your other infirmities, he wasn't saying, well, you know, you need to get the sin out of your life, buckaroo, or you know, stop using those negative faith words. Not at all. He prescribed to him the medicinal way of dealing with probably dysentery that he had, whatever it might be. I hope that answers it for you. Jeff, if it doesn't, stay on the line. We're going to come up on a break here, and we'll have more right after this. We'll be right back.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care, and here's why. Not only is it time for open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. Think what you could do with that. But if you join right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fee, so that's another $170 you'll save. And MediShare is really different. It's a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. More than 400,000 people are members, and they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So, yes, they can handle your bills, too. This may be the time to make the switch. Join before November 30th for the additional savings. It's so easy to find out more. They're great to talk to. In fact, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Hi, friends. Pastor Chapin from Calvary Chapel University with really, really great news for you. Calvary Chapel University is now fully accredited. That's right, fully accredited through TRACS, a national accrediting agency. If you're interested in completing or starting your 100% online college degree, go to calvarychapeluniversity.com and apply today. Calvary Chapel University is not only online, but it's sound doctrinally and 100% based on the Word of God. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com to get your fully accredited college degree. One other blessing. If you apply between now and the end of December, you will get a 50% off tuition scholarship. That's half off your entire college degree for your entire college degree. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com, apply today, and Pamela and Donna will be happy to help you. Oh, one other thing. Pastor Skip Heitzig is now a faculty member, and he's teaching actively at Calvary Chapel University. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com and apply today.
You're listening to CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. We broadcast on hundreds of stations nationwide, including many stations in great cities in Georgia. You can listen in Athens, Savannah, Danielsville, Buford, and many more. Get a full station list or listen anywhere in the world live at csnradio.com. CSN International, where God's Word is heard.
This is KAWZ Twin Falls, the Christian Satellite Network.
And we want to welcome you back to part three of Every Man an Answer here on this Monday afternoon with Shannon Skolten. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. And when we went to the break, we were speaking with Jeff in Nampa, Idaho. Jeff, are you still with us?
Yes, yes.
Yes, I hope that answered your question for you.
I do agree with you guys and everything. I'm not the type of, but I'm just, you know, I think God chooses also to deliver whoever he wishes to deliver. It's up to God in general. It's, for example, like Mel Gibson's movie, Rich Saw, the war movie where this guy, which is a Seventh Adventist, went into war and he was faithful to God and God delivered him from bombs. That doesn't happen, right? That doesn't happen when God delivered because he chooses.
Oh, I think God, yeah. Jeff, can deliver anybody from anything. In fact, you look at the two prophets that come back in the streets of Jerusalem. The Bible says there's two men that come back warning the world not to take the mark of the beast, not to buy into the Antichrist system. And the Bible says that as people try to kill them, they will be killed. So I don't know whether they lob a hand grenade at him, flies back and blows them up. I don't know. All I can tell you, though, is when it says, and when their testimony was completed, then they were allowed to be slain. And the Bible says they lay there in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days. Now, why I think this is significant is this. I believe that when we are born again, I believe that until our testimony is completed, we're basically indestructible. Remember, the calling of God in our lives is sure. And so that's one of the things that we can rest in. But that doesn't mean that I will not have difficulty in that. Paul was shipwrecked day and night in the deep. In fact, when he gave his credentials for being a minister, it wasn't all the Ivy League schools that he went to with the shiny gold buttons on the diplomas hanging on his office wall. It was the trials that he went through. I was shipwrecked day and night in the deep, beaten with rods. He lists all these things that gave him the credentials and the right to say what he was saying. And I believe that's really important. I remember they came to Billy Graham one time. And they asked Billy Graham, they said, "Why are some people healed, Billy, and some people are not?" And he simply said, "I don't know." So, you know, I think that's true. I don't know either. And again, I don't know why some Christians are horribly persecuted, even in America, and others are not so much. I don't know why. But I do know this, to God be the glory, great things he's done. And so I always seem to just leave it in the hands of God. But I do know that just because we go through something really tough in our life, either caused by ourselves or by what others have done to us, doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. And I think that's the worst conclusion we can draw from things that are adverse to what we think. Your thoughts.
When you go through refiner's fire, there's that old worship song, "Refiner's Fire, My Heart's One Desire." And, you know, in order to be purified, you pass through the fire. There's tribulations that you are going to go through. And what if those tribulations God allows you to go through are nothing in comparison to the tribulations you would have went through if you were out from under his will? And that's how we have to look at it. You know, I have an example of I lost a child. I held my daughter in my arms and she passed away. And I had no idea why God would allow me to go through such pain when I loved him so much. But then later on, as I continued to grow in him and I continued to serve him, he made it very clear why I went through that pain and why I was able to go through that tribulation and come out the other end. And it was used for the purpose of ministering to others who had suffered something similar to me. And so if someone was saved through the trial and tribulation I went through because I had a testimony that I could reach them with, it was all worth it. So sometimes we think that, well, I'm a Christian, I should be completely exempt from this. But what if that testimony that he allows you to go through, that trial he allows you to go through, refines you and strengthens you and allows you to use that as a testimony to save others? That's how we need to look at it. Instead of wanting to be absolved of all issues in our life, that okay, when there's a Mercy Me song, Bring the Rain. when things start going bad in our lives, bring the rain, because we can use it to glorify the Lord more. We can see his love, his mercy, his kindness more. But you're absolutely right, Jeff. He can decide to completely save us out of whatever he chooses. And none of us are going to know, we're not going to know who, why, when, what, or how he's going to do it, or even if it's going to happen in our lives. I'm sure some of us can only hope. But at the end of the day, it's God's decision. And regardless of the outcome, we have to be okay with his will in our lives.
Right. Mike. So being about our daddy's business, Jeff, that's what it's about. Stay in line. I'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs for calling in today. Pray that answered your question for you. With that, let's go to Mike. Maui, Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha. How are you doing today?
Good. How may we help?
Well, I was wondering, I in the absence of a lot of guidance from our church leaders, have you guys heard anything about maybe a nationwide prayer day where, you know, we could lift up a shout to God? And I mean, I haven't heard anybody coordinating that in the churches that I listen to, or in the shows that I listen to. I don't hear anybody trying to do that. It's not one of the recommendations that we're getting. So it just seems like the church leadership should guide the Christians through this period and be providing, you know, biblical guidance as to how people should be doing. Like that lady that called, she just wanted to know, should or shouldn't I take the vaccine? What is that impact, right?
Yeah, and to go back for our viewers that are and listeners that are just joining us, the problem that I have with the vaccine is that it's not time tested. There has been so many horrible side effects from drugs that have been released too quickly that, yeah, it might prevent you from getting COVID, but it might give you another disease. It might prevent you from getting COVID, but it may cause blindness in 5 years or kidney failure in 2 years. They don't know. Now, here's what's important about this crazy virus is that it is man-made. Now, first of all, everyone, I think there's a sinister problem here. And that is, why would China invent a disease like this? You know, I really believe man's technology has gotten a little out of hand. And why would you invent a disease like this? China, what's wrong with you? Why have you poisoned the entire earth with your foolishness? There is, I believe, something far greater here. And when you're dealing with a man-made disease, I think finding a vaccine for this is going to be extremely difficult because it doesn't follow the normal chain of when they find a disease, they want to stop the disease. And I believe this is what's really bad about this thing. You keep hearing the novel COVID-19. Novel means it's all new, but it was invented. It was made. And this is one, I think, one of the greatest problems. Your thoughts?
Well, there was a patent in 2005 on the vaccine, number one. Number two, my issue with it is not just that it's new. My issue with it is the fact that they want to use it as a tool to trace you. If you're going to vaccinate me and then I'm going to have papers or later on a mark or a tattoo or something identifying a necklace, whatever it is, that I receive something, forget it. I don't need Big Brother watching every step I take and everything I do. Nonetheless, this could be used as the mark of the beast maybe in the future, where you can't buy, sell, or trade or do anything without the mark, because in order to be implemented back into society, if you look at Revelation chronologically, there's complete desolation and death and bloodshed. And the earth is in complete turmoil, and you have to take this mark in order to be re-entered into society. This can definitely be something like that. Now, it doesn't mean we're there yet, but if they want to use trace technology to follow me, I have a problem with that. And like Mike said, it is biological weaponry. It's biological warfare. It's created and it was engineered for a purpose. Now, if you want to talk about your question specifically in regards to prayer and fasting, what churches are doing, November 9th, the Trump administration requested that everybody pray from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in regards to everything that was going on with the election, as he was going to petition the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania and some other states. The return with Jonathan Cahn and the prayer march that happened at the end of September, it was the 24th through the 28th, that occurred. It was a national recommendation from churches and evangelicals to not only march on Washington and pray and fast, but also to return back to the Lord in repentance. Us at CSN, Mike, we have been calling for people to pray and fast corporately, and churches and governing bodies to corporately pray and fast together and encourage their congregations to do so as often as possible. And I know that we have done so. So I think that there are good evangelical leaders and pastors that are doing it. And I think you're right, not enough. I think that there should be another national day of prayer and fasting. As much as we possibly can gather the people together in regards to what's going on, the better. But it doesn't mean that we can't pray and fast on our own, in our own prayer closet before the Lord, for the things that God has laid on our heart through the Holy Spirit, for our government, for Trump. You know, maybe in regards to COVID or in regards to the election or whatnot. So, but there has been many, many attempts to get the body of Christ to come together in prayer and fasting. Amir Sarfati has recently had one for his international church followers. Jack Hibbs just had one, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago. So I think there's a lot of ways that you can get involved with these churches that have online presences if you want to be part of something like that corporately, Mike.
Amen. So I hope that helps, Mike.
It does. It does. And then I guess I hadn't heard of a lot of that, so I guess I need to get on the internet.
Well, we'll try to keep you informed if we hear of a particular day that everyone wants to pray that.
And you can follow us on csnradio.com. We do upload a lot of that stuff onto Every Man and Answer's Facebook page. We post articles and things of that nature on my Facebook page, Voice of Truth with Shannon Skolton. We will add links constantly in regards to things that are happening in the evangelical realm. So if you just stay plugged in here, and then also you can follow some of the ministries that we promote, you'll get a lot of really good biblical knowledge and information on where you can do that.
Mike, hope that helps. Stay alive.
Yeah, one quick thing, Mike,
okay.
If I might. I really liked your point earlier about the fear that is being fostered by this thing. And I think that one of the things that I try to do in our, well, we try to do in our lives is just rejoice, actually, because with all the bad stuff that's happening, I mean, it sounds kind of bad, but I kind of like it because every day that goes by and the worse it gets, the closer we get to Jesus coming back.
Amen.
And so, and I think that that is the bigger picture that people need to see, is that even if they do have to suffer, every day goes by, we're one day closer to Jesus coming back.
And amen.
And then the second thing would be, as if, you know, when they fabricate things, I spent 24 years in the military, so I know some stuff, but when they fabricate things, they usually fabricate the antidote for it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why they think they're going to get a vaccine for this, because it's a flu virus, and we've never had a vaccine for flu. So how all of a sudden do they think they're going to have a vaccine for this one?
I believe
I see it happening.
Yeah, I believe this disease was manufactured. It's the ideal communist disease because, again, you have to realize when you're in communism, you're only useful if you produce. If you get old, aged, you're sick, you don't need to be on the coffer. You don't need to be supported by those who will work. That's the whole idea of communism. And because you're not created by God, according to the communist philosophy, you're evolved sludge. See, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, says that we were endowed by a creator. But that's not communism. Communism believes that you're just a higher animal life form is all you are. And when your usefulness is done, well, we're glad you got to laugh a little bit, taste some nice things, and experience a few things. But go do your civic duty and die. Well, they're not dying fast enough. So this disease is really the beautiful disease for the Communist Party. Because what it does, COVID, again, if you really look, if you go online and study how many people have actually died of COVID, it's only about 10,000 people in the United States. Now, you see these gigantic 250,000 people have died. No, no, no. It's about 10,000 people is all. But it's COVID with diabetes, advanced diabetes, COVID with pneumonia, COVID with some other ailment. It's COVID and something else. Well, if you're in the communist world, man, you get rid of all the old people, you get rid of all the sick people, you get them off the welfare system of the state. Man, it's beautiful. Exactly what they wanted. It's funny, it was made in communist China. Now, again, understanding that, this is the problem. So when we see these giant numbers, Trump, relatively healthy, had no other issues. He got it on a Friday. He was back out on the campaign trail on Tuesday. Amazing. Because unless you have other conditions, it doesn't affect you. Now, I'm not saying that we all shouldn't have compassion for anyone that is sick, whether it's COVID or any other illness. And certainly we do not have the idea, the philosophy yet of the Communist Party, as Bernie Sanders wants to formally have it in America. But when we really look at it, we have compassion on one another in spite of what other diseases we may have. And so I believe that this disease is really designed for communists to control their population, to kill off the elderly and the sick, get them off the rolls. And I believe this is why. I mentioned earlier, why would you invent a disease like this? It's clear. It says it's a man-made disease, which makes the antidote, the vaccine, very hard to come up with. So you run into this. And so, Mike, I hope that sheds a little bit of... How are you doing in Maui, being you had so much of your economy based upon tourism, and now the tourism is almost completely gone?
Well, they just last week or the week before started allowing people to come back. And so we've probably seen at least one third or more of the businesses go under here.
Wow. That's a huge number.
Staggering.
Tourist based stuff. Yeah, it's pretty bad. We have and my business is, I'm probably making 10% of what I made in the previous years.
Wow.
So, it affected it quite a bit. And so I've taken enough of your time. I'll let somebody in there. I just want to say my wife loves your show. We love the way you guys put things together and appreciate what you're doing.
Well, God bless you.
Stay
on the line, Mike. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, and I think you'll really enjoy Music for Evangelism. Let's go to Tom, Las Vegas. Hi, welcome.
Hi. I have a question regarding, J.D. Farag. I've listened to him, and most of the time I agree with him, but he seems to have a different position in supporting Trump's and the things that we're going through in the government. His last sermon was kind of like, we should just be concerned of the return of the Lord. So I'm not understanding where he's coming from.
Shannon, your thoughts.
So I listen to JD every Sunday, so I'm very familiar with his ministry, and he programs with us on Sundays. I think that the point that JD, and I can't speak for him, but I can see his heart through the way that he does his pastoring. In the past couple Sundays, he's made references in regards to Elijah. I'm sure you probably heard that one, and how God, raptured him, essentially, when he was running from Jezebel, and he had a replacement. And his entire point this last couple Sundays was to get us to understand that sometimes, even though something profound and amazing happens in our life and we see the hand of God truly, it doesn't mean that we're not subject to not being persecuted and that we're still human. And as we get despondent in that persecution, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord, because it doesn't mean that we're not going to go through the trial, but it does mean that we have a home at the end of it and we're residents not of this earth, but of heaven. And so his entire premise of his last sermon, What If?, which I think was the name of his sermon that he did without looking at it, was to get us to understand that it really doesn't matter the outcome of the election. What if Joe Biden wins? What if Kamala Harris becomes the president and Nancy Pelosi? What if Trump ends up in office? Ultimately, if things are moving forward faster than ever in the prophetic, then ultimately we know as believers where our destination is. And so we can get caught up in all the rigmarole and the lies. We can get caught up in all the diversion from the left and from the socialist and the communist ideologies that are being propagated. We can get sucked into the fake news media. But at this point in time, what really truly matters. He's made his point about COVID. He's made his point about the left. He's made his point about Illuminati and evil families and this being planned. And his entire premise of this entire season has been, this is where you're at. What are you going to do with it in your walk with the Lord? And now we're at this pivotal point in time where we're about to flip communist if we don't speak up and do what we need to do as believers. But at the end of the day, even if that happens, what are you going to do about it? The what if doesn't matter anymore. What are you going to do to be hands and feet for the kingdom of God? And where are you going to end up? And that's what truly matters, because there are variables in life. And although he's tried to set the precedent that this is what's happening and you need to be ready and you need to be, pedal to the metal, witnessing and preaching and evangelizing and getting your life right with the Lord, at this pivotal point in time, it doesn't really matter what's going to happen. It matters where you are in your walk with the Lord and what you're doing for the kingdom of God to bear fruit. So that has been his heart, and that's what he's trying to project. And I think that he's come off, he's already given so much information. He's given so many websites and proof of what the sinister left is attempting to do. And now he's trying to prepare the people in his online church. Now what are you going to do about it all? He's belabored the point enough, Mike.
Hope that helps, Tom.
All right. Thank you.
God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. I like JD. I've had him here on the program before, and it's been really good.
He does great work.
Yeah, he does. He does a lot of research. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Wayne, also in Las Vegas. Hi, welcome.
Hi. My question revolves around two verses. Revelations 21:8. It says, the fearful and unbelieving shall have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second death. And then Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Mm-hmm. And every tongue that speaketh judgment against thee thou shalt condemn. So what is our responsibility in catering to the delusional at the cost that we would hide our faith and cover our faces in shame, switching off the physical testament of God and replacing it with an abhorrent image of fear, that to the point it feels like the churches have become a fear factory more than a house of worship. And I don't feel like we have the right attitude to rebuking this fruit of the enemy that is just laden in fear and deceit, and we just keep accepting it under the guise of maybe, I think it's Matthew 10:16, be wise as a serpent, innocent as a dove, but it never tells us to be as stupid as a sheep and roll over.
Okay, yeah. Shannon, your thoughts.
I think that you're right. We don't need to have a spirit of fear, and the church has propagated a lot of fear, and the whole point of the church is to empower the people with the word of God and teach them and prepare them to go out and make disciples of nations. And so we don't need to have fear with all of this. We do need to shed that fear. We need to understand that that is a spirit and an evil spirit that we are overcome with. And so we need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, pray and fast, have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. But the Lord says that he also gives us the ability to tread on scorpions and serpents for his namesake. And with the Holy Spirit, we are that much more powerful. And we're supposed to use this time to witness and preach and help shed light to those who are in darkness. Mike?
Yeah, I think that, again, we just need to be very much aware of what's going on around us. I don't think wearing a mask is denying Christ at all. I believe, though, that we need to look at this imbalance. Of course, everybody knows that masks really don't stop
anything.
They don't do anything.
It's a muzzle.
It's a muzzle and
a form of submission.
And I think Wayne, I think that's what you're probably reacting to is, I know so many people in these lockdown Democrat states. It's like trying to stop a Kansas dust storm with a picket fence. They don't work. And now, yeah, if you're hawk and phlegm, yeah, a mask will help keep that person from infecting others. But people are wearing masks thinking that's going to protect them from other people. That's not the way it works. And in fact, right on the box, it'll say, does not stop communicable diseases on the box. So they know that. Shannon, we got about 20 seconds. What would you say about that?
I do think that masks only serve a purpose as being courteous to those who maybe emotionally don't understand what's going on, but other than that, they serve no purpose at all. And I think that there is a fine line we have with not causing someone to stumble and to show them love. And I think if that's a situation, then you should wear a mask. But if not, don't be dumb or ignorant to the fact that they really just don't work, and there's no purpose but to show our submission, Mike.
This is a Gestapo.
Ending it on a high note.
Things that make you go, Wayne, stay online. We're out of time, and we'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs that you can watch in the COVID lockdown. We'll be back tomorrow for more to Every Man an Answer. Don't go away. Thanks, Shannon.
Good night. Night.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.